This is WCNY's The Capital Press Room, and based on listener demand, we're diving into the world of statutory interest rates on money judgments in New York and highlighting the effort to bring new flexibility to the interest rate imposed by the state. To discuss this issue, we're joined by Cam MacDonald, an adjunct fellow at the Empire Center for Public Policy, a fiscally conservative think tank based in Albany. Welcome back to the show, Cam.
Thanks for having me back.
So before we get into New York's statutory interest rate of 9% on money judgments, can you explain what a money judgment is? And to be clear, I know, but I'm just saying for the listeners, Cam.
Sure. So a money judgment is one where you take someone to court for maybe breach of contract or some sort of tort like a personal injury action or something. And once there is a verdict and a decision made, it gets put into a court judgment that has a monetary amount, and from the date that that judgment is entered, post-judgment interest accrues on it under the statute.
Oh, so theoretically, if the ruling is you got to pay $1 million by X date, for every day I don't pay that penalty, interest is accruing? Is that a way to think about it, or is the interest added some other way?
No, that's the way to think of it. So what happens is, yeah, you'll get that $1 million judgment against me, and it in New York, it's not set at 9%. Annually, and so then every day, you know, you multiply the $1 million times 9%, that's 90,000, and divide it by 365 days, and so that's the daily judgment.
And I won't make you do that math for us live on the air, but why is there interest on money judgments, and how did we get our current fixed rate of 9%?
So, I mean, it's because you're being deprived of the money while it's not being paid, so it's just like any other debt to somebody that you owe. So I owe on my mortgage, and my mortgage company collects an interest rate. My credit card collects an interest rate if I don't pay off my balance. And so it's just to reflect that person's money not being used by them in some way. It's been set at 9% in New York since 1981, and that was an increase from when it was set at 6% maybe in the early 70s.
And how does the state rate compare to what other courts are doing?
So the federal rate is one that is set to the one-year treasury yield. So it is something that floats with interest rates. So, you know, for the last 15 years up until, you know, just recently when the Fed started fighting inflation by raising rates, the federal treasury rate was, you know, between 0 and 2%, very, very low. During that time, however, New York's was 9%. So there was a real huge difference between what's considered basically like a risk-free rate, which is a treasury yield, versus this 9%, which was just pegged by the legislature over 40 years ago.
Well, then what's the impact of the 9% interest rate on money judgments? Does it serve as a stiff penalty that encourages people to pay in a timely manner?
So that's the interesting thing. It depends. It was moved to 9% in 1981 when the federal treasury rate was some very high number. You know, back in the stagflation days of the late 70s, 80s, interest rates just went through the roof. And so New York legislature properly said, well, parties to litigation are being dilatory about pursuing the litigation. Defendants were delaying because, you know, if they set that money aside, they could get 15 or 16, 17% interest in the market fairly risk-free. And meanwhile, the person who wasn't getting paid was limited to 6% interest. So there was a huge delta there that the defendant could play. Now, since then, in the last 10 years, the interest rate has been near zero, 1 to 2%, while the New York rate has been 9%. The opposite is true. If you are somebody who has a judgment against you, you have to do a calculation on, you know, that 7%, 8% delta in the interest rate, whether it's worth it for you to take all the time it takes in the New York court system to appeal a judgment against you.
And how does an appeal factor into the interest that you might pay on that initial judgment from, say, that trial court?
So let's go back to our $1 million judgment you got against me. If I want to appeal, I can be quick about getting my briefs in, but then I'm at the mercy of the court, and it can take 2 to 3 years for appeals to fully run out. And that means, you know, $180,000 to $270,000 worth of interest piles up. If I'm looking at a difference between the existing rate being 5% even that 5 to 9%, that's $40,000 per year, $80,000. I might think seriously about whether I just need to settle and not incur that extra interest if it's sort of up in the air where the appeal will run out. So it kind of has, it just has a distorting effect on how parties handle these things. And especially, you know, a lot of money judgments are covered by insurance, and that's how insurance companies operate their business, is by market rates and actuarial tables and all that sort of thing. So it just can, it can just kind of make a mess of the judicial system.
Well, is there a way to pause the interest while you appeal, if you put up a bond or make some other sort of gesture that doesn't make an appeal so expensive?
No, because the bond is set at an amount that is the money judgment plus some estimated amount of interest based on how long the appeal is expected to play out. So the interest is figured into the amount of the appeal bond that you must post.
Well, then in 2024, what is the correct way for the state, from your perspective, to set the interest on a money judgment?
The federal method is the best. It's U.S. Treasuries, which is kind of considered basically risk-free, that you're going to get paid off on those, and the interest rate floats. It's a set it and let it go sort of thing for the legislature. If they were to, they could put maybe an interest rate kicker in. So right now, the federal rate is around 4.5 to 5%. It could go up and down from there, but the legislature just doesn't have to think about it again. They can just set it and forget it. If they think that the federal one-year treasury rate is too low, they could add an interest rate kicker to it, you know, put 1 or 2 or 3 points on it, something like that. That would make it more like the consumer rate today, which is around 8, 8.5%.
Assemblymember John McDonald, a Capital Region Democrat, has legislation that would tie the rate of interest on money judgments to the average one-year constant maturity for Treasury yield. But are there other players here in Planet Albany who are trying to address this? For example, has the governor made any sort of hay over this?
So since 2017, the governor's budget bill, Governor Hochul's predecessor, Governor Cuomo, put it in, and she's put it in every year in her budget bill. She has attempted to change the judgment statutory interest rate to that federal floating rate. And it's important also to note that there is a flip side to that, in that in the state finance law, in the general municipal law, and I believe possibly in the public authorities law, judgments against the state are set at 9%. So there would be savings for the state if they did sort of the other side of this, the state's liabilities, to float the interest rate with the treasury yield.
So for the listeners who have made it through this entire segment and are scratching their head going, well, why do I care about this? What would your argument be to them why it matters?
We shouldn't be doing anything in New York that is discouraging people from doing business here. You know, it could discourage, if your interest rate is, it has a distorting effect, it could discourage insurers from entering into the market. We should be encouraging people to litigate, appeal judgments against them to the full extent of their rights, because we don't want people suffering injustices or paying off judgments because there's some distorting effect of an unreasonably high interest rate accruing against them. You know, every piece of litigation has a business decision behind it, and we should be getting as much as possible towards the merits of those things and not having a statutory interest rate that's not reflecting the reality of the market, causing people to make different decisions.
Well, would we be erring on the side then of potentially protecting the interests of bad actors, of businesses that have been found to be liable or breach of contract by addressing the interest rates that they might have to pay?
Well, there's two different things there. Parties to a contract can agree to whatever interest rate they want to, including pre-judgment or post-judgment interest rate. So this is more of a default rate. So that's not a disservice. And what the federal one-year treasury rate is a market rate that reflects what somebody could expect to get in a risk-free investment. So, you know, once you have a judgment against somebody and they have to post an appeal bond, you can get an interest rate that would be as if you had a U.S. treasury.
But I guess what I'm saying is, if I'm coming into New York and I am going to be a good citizen, I'm not going to breach contracts, and I have reason to believe that I'm not going to get sued and not have money judgments against me, Why do I care what the interest rate is?
I think you care because it makes things more expensive for you. If, for instance, insurance companies are having to pay higher amounts of interest and judgments, they are going to recoup those higher amounts through your rates on your car or on your house and so on. So, I mean, anything that's an excessive expense gets passed along to you ultimately as a consumer. It may be pennies, it may be dollars, but it all adds up.
So then why not be more proactive about targeting these bad actors and not letting those costs get passed on through insurance premiums that have to get spread around to everyone else? Is there a way to hold those bad actors accountable primarily?
Well, I don't really think we're talking about bad actors. We're talking about good faith parties that find themselves in litigation and having to pay interest on money judgments once they've lost their case.
So we shouldn't necessarily think of the people who are paying money judgments as nefarious characters in New York?
No, not at all.
Not even sometimes?
Well, people can have their opinions about certain former presidents, I guess.
Gotcha. Well, that's a little reference to former President Donald Trump, but that's a whole nother show. Well, we've been speaking with Cam MacDonald. They're an adjunct fellow with the Empire Center for Public Policy, as well as the executive director and general counsel for the Government Justice Center, which you can find at govjustice.org. Cam, thanks for visiting us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And for more Capital Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.